WHPC Garden City. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts or guests on this radio station, which is owned and operated by Nassau Community College, are not the opinion of Nassau Community College, its administration, or its employees.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
Hey, Ray!
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm getting ice over here. The bar back didn't show up. One of the bar back was late, so I'm hauling ice.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show right here on Long Island, and we are down here in Party Central. You know why we're down here at Party Central, Ray?
Well, because it's Sunday, we have nothing else to do, and we needed a party.
It's Mother's Day!
It's Mother's Day,
that's
yes.
Right!
Yeah.
So I'd like to wish Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, including you, Chris.
Yep, thank you, Chris. Yeah, all moms, present and past, here and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's this is a day to remember them. Now, why we're here... Well, we're gonna honor a lot of mothers that are actually with us today.
Yes, very true. And today is the day that we take the best bits of 2011 and 2012, and we air them all in this hour here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. And the reason why we started this
is because
we could never get a guest.
Well, you could never get a guest.
Right.
You started this kind of, you guess you started it before I came on.
Mm-hmm.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, well, it's a day, but you know, it's become sort of a recap of sorts for us. This is kind of, I look at this as like the year ending and beginning for Motormouth Radio, because it's a big show.
Yes.
It's something we never do. It's kind of, you know, we have bits that are pre-recorded, which we never do otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But we celebrate the fans and our mothers, so.
And it's like our New Year's Eve, I guess.
It is. That's what I mean. It's like the beginning and end of the year for us.
You're absolutely right.
So,
well, speaking of the excitement, you know the show always gets exciting when we rally around some old, rattle around, I should say, some old memories.
Who wrote this copy?
Yeah, I know. The copy, it was late at night.
I want to edit mine. I don't like it.
Edit
it's
away.
A little late.
Edit well.
I'm drinking. Come on.
So what started out as an impromptu baseball bat attack on someone's rear glass. I had a Malavacha against somebody, and I wanted to clock him. But what turned out to be that attack turned out to a game. It came into like an impromptu stickball game and how it was like in the old neighborhood. So let's listen as I'm all ready to lower the boom on this guy's glass.
This should be good.
Right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. So check it out. Swear to you, Ray, I had the joystick up in the air.
You do that every good. That's every Friday night for you.
It was, you know, I was in the stickball stance.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
You were going for the third sewer. You're going to egg that ball?
One bounce.
Remember you hit the pencil pinky and it would egg it. And it would wah, 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 wah. That thing, you knew you whacked it solid when you egged it. Oh, man. What? The pencil pinky.
What the hell?
We've gone through this before, Mr. Switzer.
It's the
cousin of the Spalding. Yes, right. They sold both varieties, and I do believe I was correct on this. I think one of them, the Pensy Pinky, may have been a cheaper version of the Spalding. The Spalding might have been the higher price.
All right, so the Pensy Pinky was the
worked.
One that would slice in half every time if you hit it too hard and you egged it. The next time you hit it hard, it would slice in half. Yeah. Then you played something called half ball.
Half ball. That was a good feel when you connected with a ball. With a mop handle. When you connected with one of those balls solid.
You felt it in the gut.
Oh, it's almost like when you hit a softball dead nuts square in a sweet spot. Oh, what a feeling it is. You just
thought,
it's going, it's going. And you start, you got the bat over your shoulder. You take the Tony Manero walk. You give it the flip.
Like, your hair.
Hey, I got the home run. Hey, screw you.
I'm combing my hair. I'm looking in mirrors.
You take every step with like a peacock with pride because you know you hit the good one.
Because you know the scrubby kid is chasing it down the block.
It's over three fences. Yeah, it's in the street. You got to go to New Utrecht Avenue to get it.
Playing the inner.
It bounced off Nunzi's back wall. I know.
Hey, you kids, get out of my yard. I got a kitchen. You up there. I'll give you a tomato. Look at that. We just lived the last 30 years in the neighborhood.
There you go. Yeah, now you got to climb the barbed wire fences. You got to go through the police lockdowns.
Well, try and choose sides for a stickball game in my neighborhood now. Everybody's got their thumbs on something electronic.
Well, you know what you
They're
see?
They're still doing a stare down with the blue glow coming off on their face.
I've seen this. There's guys, older than us, that get together for the nostalgic game. And then you want to see fun. You want to see funny that is?
Oh, dude.
Swing just, like 3 days later.
I love to watch them run to the bases.
Oh, my hip.
They run like an out-of-control garbage truck. There's arms and legs.
Yeah.
They're yelling and screaming at people in the fire escape. Right. Hey, I told you I could do it. That's a show.
Yeah, and that is a show indeed.
It was. The old neighborhood re-encapsulated within a span of, 2 minutes, right?
Yeah,
there.
2 minutes and 30 seconds. Yeah, well, you know, going back to February 12th of this year, we're talking about the old neighborhood. We had a Challenger TA expert, Barry Washington, on the line from, where the hell was he, Oregon or something like that?
Oregon?
He was way up the upper left coast there.
Yeah, I think he'll talk about it in depth.
Well, he talked about the unique place where he grew up, and believe us, it's nowhere around here.
That's for sure. Let's check it out right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Here it is. So, Barry, how is the automotive scene in Alaska? Very curious to find that out.
Yeah.
You know, just like anything, cars come and go. In town, you know, years ago there was a 440 Superbird here that it was actually wrecked and no longer exists. There's been a 440 six-pack Super B. Just down the road from me is a 1970 Hemi Cuda. There's a 69 GTX convertible.
Holy moly.
There's an AR Cuda that lives here downtown if you know where to look for it. You know, they're out here. And they're around.
If we know where to look for it, we wouldn't even know where to look for you.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, really, you're talking to two guys that know very, very little other than history books and what we see on television about where you are.
Well, I'm in the Southeast Panhandle, which, you know, they call it the Banana Belt of Alaska, but we're only about 600 miles or so from Seattle, Washington.
What brought you out there? Because I don't know if you want to talk about that. Certainly you don't have to if you don't want to. I'm always curious why people end up in places that they do, and Alaska is certainly one of them that I wonder about.
You know there's a story.
I've never had a friend of mine say, you know what, I'm packing it up and going to Alaska.
Yeah, in my case, it's one of biology. My parents were here, and they got frisky one night, and I came around 9 months later.
Okay, well, that's
so, yeah. I've been here ever since.
So have you ever lived anywhere else?
Not yet. No, my house is actually for sale. I want to get to somewhere. No, I love to drive. I like to just hit the road and go. And I'm on an island here. I can't do that.
So are we. Well, if you ever get out to the East Coast, we'll hook you up with some good pizza and bagels out here in New York. I'll tell you that.
You guys, last time I was in New York, I was helping a friend. He was buying a TA in pieces. He'd never seen one all apart before.
Wow.
And we were down at David Bagman's garage in New York City.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And he sent out and had a pie delivered one day, and oh, man, that was good.
That's been a recurring theme since last week on the show. We're sending pizzas to North Carolina now because the pizza thread is just picked up. Yeah, it is.
That was delicious.
Well, taking us back to the old neighborhood once again here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
You know, Barry's pizza might have been delicious, but those little pizza rolls they just brought by on a tray, they were delicious too, man. I can't stop eating.
Save a couple for me, will you, please? I'm too busy running the board
here. I'll put some in your pocket so you can warm them up.
Right here at Party Central, where the crowd is getting bigger.
Yeah.
Here at the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. And we are playing the best bits of 2011-2012. I'll tell you, Barry was really impressed with our New York pizza. And in this next bit, Ray here was quite impressed with what Joe D.
And there he is.
Obi-Don Cannoli likes to carry around in his arsenal.
Joe, pick up, listen. he's talking something.
Let's check this out. Right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Here it is.
Well, you know, once again, just like the last time, I was thinking of upgrading the scan tool that I have now, which does OBD2 and CAN bus.
Right.
It also does freeze frame. It does, what else does it do? You can graph the information if you use the PC link. It doesn't graph through the tool.
This is the one you updated and ended up selling me the other one.
Yeah, but I sold you the last one. And this one, but now I'm thinking about updating this one to one that'll do like ABS brakes. And you know what? You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is.
What?
The more I hang around a guy like Joe D, the more I just have tool envy. This guy, I'm envious. Clear the slate. Get ready for the promo bit, okay? Because just like Joe can get on talking about a horse, I'm going to tell you, I'm envious of Joe D's tool. And you can take that to the bank. Abso-screwing-lutely.
Wow.
Hey, you're a nice shade of red right now.
I can't believe
it's true. That is true. I'm still envious. And Joe, you know, he brought his tools with him. Look at him back there.
He brings his tools everywhere he goes. I
know.
I heard.
He's deep in tool conversation. I don't know if you heard the bit. But anyway, you know, we went back to January 1st with this next one. Speaking of Joe D, of course, here's an explanation of how one of his go-to guys, Richie Yang, got his name. Because we asked him that. I know he's not Chinese. Richie returns a favor with a classic Joe D experience.
And here it is right on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
I know you had imparted the story on me. I don't know if it's safe to mention how Richie got his name.
Ooh. Oh. Well, yeah, you see,
I don't know how closely you guard that secret.
Well, no, at this point, it's pretty much a wide open thing.
Okay.
Besides that, the place that fostered the entire thing has been out of business a good 10 years now or so.
I got to ask.
At one point, when I first met Rich, we kind of hit it off because I was working over at Bay Chevrolet. I was a parts guy there at that point. He would come in, and we decided that we actually set up a rapport, and he needed stuff. And at that particular point, he was not working at a shop. So it was kind of hard to write him up as whatever shop that he had previously worked for. So that was the dawn in the 80s of the computer age, the processing unit that was the size of a small Chevette or so, you know.
You had a green screen.
Yes,
five
a green.
5.25-inch floppy disk.
Yes, and that teletype sound and printer. And
yeah, those
and
are
that
cool.
And that poor secretary cranking that friggin' thing all day. It was disgusting.
You mean the water-driven one or the crank electro one?
Steam. So I would go through the Rolodex, and at one point or another, I was trying to find a place that...
Rolodex?
We had a Rolodex with the account number so we could put them in the computer.
I think Motormouth Radio is older than a Rolodex, too, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's because you guys are still using them stone tablets. I went through and I was trying to find an account that we didn't see much of, and I come across this place called Yang's Amico. At that point or another, I started writing Richie up to Yang's Amico.
Right.
And at that point, he came in one day and I was like, he's here to pick up the stuff for the Amico. And he's going, they're like, yeah, his name is Richie Yang. And I forget what one or two Chinese words he was able to say, but then he spit something out and impressed the hell out of my boss. He figured it was legit, and from then on, he was Richie Yang.
It works.
Yeah.
It works.
Funny, he doesn't look it. And I says, yeah, well, you know, that happens with a lot of nationalities.
It's his mother's side way back.
Right. I don't know. Something on his dad's
so
side.
At that point, you know, the rest is history.
Joey always knew what to say.
He always knew how to get himself. The same mouth that got him into trouble got him out of trouble, right, Rich?
I came back from Disney down in Florida in 1985, and me and my fiance had gone there to celebrate our engagement.
Nice.
When we came back, I had bought a hat that looked like Goofy. The hat, when you put it on, the two front teeth were there, the shading in the eyes, you know, looked just like Goofy. Well, I came bouncing up the stairs, jumped in front of the counter. Joe looks up and says, right guy, right hat.
Nice.
You know, and I see Richie's wearing the hat now. He brought it with him.
Yeah. Right guy. Right hat.
Richie, try the cheese puffs, man. They're pretty good.
Did someone give me a drink?
Yeah, the girl's coming. I told her. That's all right. Yeah, she's coming.
That's cool. We're going to continue on here with the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, where we are playing the best bits of 2011, 2012. We do it for you here on your Mother's Day. Was that the last bit?
No, you got one
more.
Right there.
That's right. We do have one more.
Number five.
Right.
Follow the script.
So as it sounds, Joe is impressed with Rich and vice versa, but nothing is as impressive as the next bit where Ray shows off something he is truly proud of. We even had the fixer, Ray Miranda, on the phone here as well. And this is truly theater of the mind at its best. I just wish we had video of it.
I can't wait to hear it. You got me wondering.
But yes, you are impressive here. I'm just glad you don't have it with you today. Or wow. You may.
I don't remember.
I don't know. We'll find out right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
You can solve all your problems. Come over here. Excuse me while I whip this out.
What do you got? Hey, Ray just showed up with a sausage.
Look at the size of that baby, huh?
Look at that kielbasa you got in the bag. Wow.
This is for you, Chris.
For me?
Yeah, this is for you.
Ray's giving me a kielbasa, Ray.
Yeah.
Wow.
This thing says love like a big sausage.
This thing would make John Holmes blush.
Wow.
And we'll barbecue it.
Yeah. You know what? Barbecuing it. I like to take it and slice it and fry it. Fry it up till it's very well done, and you dip it in horseradish.
Then you take English muffin pizzas, put pizza sauce and mozzarella on them, and put them in the oven.
All right.
Wow.
Well, this is an authentic, original Polish kielbasa. You mentioned to my wife at one point in time within the last year that you have never had a real authentic.
I've never had real authentic kielbasa.
This is it. This is a smoked from the Polish store.
I can smell it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Man.
So that's
the turnpike, huh?
No, this is from up in, actually, this comes from Floral Park.
Oh, okay. Wow. This nothing says love like Ray handing over a sausage.
Yeah.
A big kielbasa.
Cool. Something you don't see every day.
All righty. There you go. Ray's kielbasa.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to thank you and Linda for a lovely kielbasa. We got two meals out of that thing. It was awesome.
That was back in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was,
that's good eating.
It was good eating.
Yeah.
So this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. This is what we do down here at Party Central. We are playing the best bits of 2011, 2012. We do it because, hey, why not?
Well, what's coming up while we do these shots? Because I know we're going to have some other stuff coming up after this break.
Well, after this, coming up after the break, we have veteran caller Mark from Levittown. He's questioning on where his advice is coming from. Weird. Actually, you question where his advice is coming from. Caller Brian's questionable auto maintenance. And it is truly questionable. And, of course, Mark Mendoza from Twisted Sister explains what he saved from his father's old 300,000-mile Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
And that's all good. Coming up right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, where we are playing those bits from 2011, 2012, all for you right here on Motormouth Radio. So keep it where you got it, where we are down here at Party Central, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer.
Trey Schatz just got here. So
nice.
Play that break. Come on.
Here we go. It's going to get better.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the Motor Mouth thing.
Excuse me, would you want to go to a school that's too expensive?
No, I don't think so.
Would you want to go to a school with large class sizes?
No, not at all.
Would you want to go to a school with professors and faculty that just don't care?
Yes. No, wait a minute. No.
Then check out Nassau Community College. With affordable tuition, small class sizes, and a faculty that really cares, Nassau Community College is the perfect college for anyone who wants to start college right. Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. It's where success starts and continues.
Hey! Excuse me.
Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah.
Here we are back.
Oh, yeah.
Back down here at Party Central.
Nothing like Yukon Jack. Start you off right.
You making shark bites? Not shark bites.
Snake bites. You'll feel like a shark bit you.
I just only heard about them. I've never experienced them.
I know. You won't go near them. I know. Well, you know, like the guy who wrote this copy, I don't know. He was drunk too, I think, just like you. But, you know, we talked about something back in the beginning of September of 2011. About shattering the silence of a lazy afternoon, how it gets shattered by an automotive problem. That's I hate when that happens.
Don't you?
Here's one of those times when even the best get pressed into action.
All righty, right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
Needless to say, around the afternoon, I'm getting a little tired because I'm up early and I've been taking, you know, a little bit of a nap here and there to kind of...
You nap?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, I was napping.
Stop it, you crazy man.
I was trying to nap yesterday when my wife came home and shook me awake and said, "There's something wrong with my car." I said,
wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Can I have that questionably accurate portrayal of your wife?
I was trying to take a nap, and my wife came home and shook me awake and said, dear, there's something wrong with my car. You have to come look at it.
No!
So I
like the Stevedore version. I know. That.
There's something wrong with my car! I know. So I said, oh, God, what is it now? Her car hadn't been used, like, all week. We just let it sit because right. we didn't need to use it.
It was the alternator.
That's what I thought she was going to say because I knew that was an issue.
Right.
No, she said it was when she went to take off from a light, the car really ran rough and shuddered. And she was even our younger daughter, Jenny, even Jenny noticed it. I'm like, well, okay, all right, well, then you got to legitimize it, right?
Right. Yeah. And you did eventually fix it.
And then I went back to napping, too.
Right, after there was something wrong with your car!
Exactly. Which she denied.
Of course. She always denies it.
But you know what? She's here now. She's in the back. I think she's talking to Dina, so she didn't hear that. But I'll make sure she hears it later.
It's funny because we do have that job and that responsibility twice a week to answer questions about cars, that whatever's busted or broken or whatever have you. But right now, here's one of Motormouth Radio's veteran callers, Mark from Levittown, talking about the ultimate demise of his Mazda RX-2.
And there he is in the back table. Look, he's making up that inspection sticker hiding stuff. He's showing Joe how to do it.
That was from last Mother's Day show.
I know.
Check that one
He's
out.
Doing it again. Look at him. He's got the condiment tray. He's made like a science project back there. Mark, cut it out. Have a beer.
Well, here he is trying to get some subsequent support from us right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
Maybe 60,000 miles on it before she hit a tree.
Wow!
And right in front of Jericho High School, teaching a drive around. Don't go on 107. Just stay in a parking lot. And she went to go on. She didn't have a license either, for that matter. She went to heading towards that 107. And I went, no, don't go there. And she swung the wheel to the right and stomped on it in first gear.
Oops.
And the tree is still there. It's a tremendous, tremendous tree. The dent is still in the tree. I swear to God, this is in 76 maybe, or 77.
Oh, boy.
You should go put an RX-2 fender badge on the tree. Just stick it right there in the bark.
Yeah.
Probably parts of the signal light lens are probably still jammed in there.
I saw the tree coming, and the car went into it slowly, and the hood buckled up slowly, and it went and hit the dashboard. It was very strange.
It's amazing how that happens.
Nobody was seriously hurt, but that was the end of that car.
Yeah, just an ego was crushed. That was about it.
Because the car really leaped. It really did.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine actually, I lost one of the little metal, what are they called, on the rotor. It's like that little sleeve that sits on top of the rotor.
The apex seal?
That's the one. One of them decided to bail at about 4,000 RPM.
How the hell you do that?
Don't ask me. It just happened. It literally flew out, and I found it wedged. The engine just stopped at about 114,000 miles on the RX-7. Just stopped.
Mark, ask him how he lost a brake caliper on a Triumph in motion, too, because that's just staggering.
Yeah, I did that, too.
Yeah.
How do you do these things?
Dumb luck.
Did you get them wet and they shrunk or something? They fall?
No, what's more interesting to me is why do you call this show for advice?
Because it's a lot of fun.
Oh, okay, all right, good. As long as you get some enjoyment from it, then that's all we need to know.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes at 2 o'clock I go, damn. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We do the same thing at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to tell you.
We go, damn, why are we still doing this show?
And now I see Mark, he advanced, he's putting that stuff in little baggies. He sells like little crack samples he's selling people over there. I think he's giving it away.
Hey, how much does he want for it? Two for three?
Buy him a beer. Send him a beer, he'll give you one, yeah. So anyway, Chris, back in January when it was cold.
Oh, yeah.
But not too snowy. We had Brian on the phone. Some of our callers reach out to us for advice, and then there are callers like these.
Right.
Here's Brian with some interesting car questions and auto maintenance techniques that leave us scratching our heads.
That's for sure, right here on the Extravaganza. Check it out.
Oh, Chris?
Yes.
My oil light's been on for like 3 weeks now.
Look at
that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Brian, you should see my longtime radio colleague right now. The man, his eyes almost popped out of his head.
I would pose the same kind of question to you as I did with the four-wheel drive, and I would say, what do you think?
Well,
It's usually not a good thing. You're either low on oil, or you have a faulty switch, or an oil pump.
No, I'm not out of a faulty switch.
Then have you checked the oil level? I guess not.
No, it's black, so it's really hard.
You can still, it makes it easier to see.
Yeah, it's true, but it kind of has that splatter where it kind of splatters up the stick.
All right, let me give you auto maintenance 101, Brian. With the engine off and the vehicle on level ground, remove the dipstick and wipe it clean with your shirt. That's okay. You can use your shirt. Then reinsert it and draw it back out again and read the level.
Okay.
You may be just low on oil, but yeah, you should definitely look into that for sure.
Okay, I definitely will try.
Yeah, go over to Chris's house. He'll check it for you.
By the way, my other car had that check engine light on.
For how long, Brian?
3 years.
How are you getting in?
Yeah. I had about a week or two to get it to the shop.
Let me ask you a question. How are you getting inspections on that car in those 3 years?
I had a friend.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs friends.
They rarely even saw. I don't think they ever saw the car, actually.
Oh, boy.
He needs all the friends he can get. Brian, before you get in any more trouble, thank you so much for the call.
Oh, Larry, you're very, very welcome.
Yeah, Chris, you better disavow yourself.
Yeah. There's some questionable maintenance.
Brian couldn't make it today. How's he doing?
He's doing okay. I think he's getting over that last phone call that he had with us back in
the day. He already got arrested a
couple of times.
See, he could have been here to buy Mark's bird poop inspection sticker stuff.
Which the stuff that conveniently covers over the expired inspection sticker.
Expired date, right.
So there are some questionable maintenance that we always question, basically. But there's some.
Every week.
Yeah, there's some that's actually pretty interesting. And we're going to keep going right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza with Mark Mendoza, Twisted Sister's very own. Mark Mendoza talking about his dad's old Oldsmobile. It was a Delta 88, and it had 300,000 miles.
And that's before cars typically did that.
Yeah, that's for sure. And here's what eventually happened to it on the Extravaganza. Check it out.
Do donuts in the snow with the car. I do little stunts. The car was big and heavy. You know that. So finally, I'm sliding sideways, and I hit a curb, okay? And a guitar, one of my basses, goes through in the trunk, goes through the fender, and out into the snow.
Oh.
It was so rotted and rusted. And so cars start honking at me going, you know, You lose something. I pull over, I go back, I get it. I'm like, man, the rot was so bad. The bass sliding across went right through.
Oh, man.
So I bring it home, right? I look at after the gig. I put it back in after the gig. I get home the next day. I wake up, I take it to the shop. And we weld some plates there. And I put some plywood over it, you know. And actually, you know, put some silicone so water doesn't get up in there.
Sure, that's good.
I don't want all the stuff to get wet.
No.
Like it hasn't been for the year before that. So anyway, we do all that, right? The car goes another couple of years. Coming back from a gig, me and Dee were in the car. We're coming back from a gig in Jersey, and I'm coming across Staten Island, ready to get on the Verrazano Bridge, you know. And all of a sudden, noises, you know, like steam, and the car's running rough and everything like that. And I pull over, and I look at it, and I'm like, that's it. 308,000 miles.
Later.
Wow.
Blew a head gasket.
Holy.
Side head gasket.
A valiant soldier to the end.
Yeah.
Blew a head gasket, okay? For you car guys out there, everything on the car was original. To the day it died, except for the alternator and the radiator.
Nice.
Okay, tranny, differential, power steering, everything, and nothing leaked.
Nice.
Wow.
It left no drips anywhere I parked it. The clock, the analog clock, still worked. I have it. I took it out of the car when I junked it. It's on my desk, and it still runs and makes that noise.
That dink.
Right.
Noise. And it still makes that noise. And it's on my desk with a little 12-volt power supply, and it runs.
Nice.
The analog clock.
That's awesome.
And I still have the hubcaps on the wall of my garage.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Is that a car story?
I'll tell you. Mark's a car guy, because I know I've saved parts of cars that I got rid of, too, and I have them around the house in my office. You keep them.
I mean, not only that, it had value to me. It's my father's car, too.
Exactly.
His last car.
Sure.
So in his memory, I kept the hubcaps and the clock, because the clock worked.
And you maintained it.
And the clock still works.
I'm sure he's proud of you.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a great story.
That was. That was pretty cool. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how, like you said, he kept the starter in the car for 300,000 miles. That must have been a tall order.
Well, you know, Mark couldn't make it here today, but we'll find out. We're going to talk to Mark. We may get him back on the show, and we'll grill him about that.
That would be awesome. What do we got coming up?
When we come back, we'll be hearing from none other than Motion Performance's own Joel Rosen.
Woo!
He's going to talk about the end of the line for Motion back in the 80s.
Right.
Then, of course, is On-Spot Tire Chain President Pat Fryer, a good friend of ours and relative of yours.
Yes.
That's on his appearance with Sam and Dave on Motorhead Garage down in down the Great South.
That was a good. This is going to be a good story.
That's a great bit. And then some of the reasons why the host of Hard Parts South Bronx, that's Joe Ferrer, has video cameras around his building. And, of course, the Bronx blockage when we return. That I can't wait to not hear that one.
This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. The best bits of 2011 and 2012. And we're only halfway through. We have a lot more coming your way. So you keep it where you got it. To Motormouth Radio.
The Motormouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Break out the mood rings and slip on the platform shoes. It's the Super 70s. The decade that brought us Elton John, Donny Marie, and Fonzie are back on WHPC. Join me, Ron Stevens, as we count down the top 20 hits of a featured week and hear lots of bonus hits from that memorable decade. So listen to the Super 70s on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
The Super 70s, Tuesday at 12 a.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. on 90.3 WHPC.
Excuse me.
Motor Mouth Radio.
You're repeating yourself here, Chris. Yeah. Damn, those. Well, whatever it is, that milky drink you're drinking is taking effect on you. I don't know what that is.
It's grew.
Shirley's Temple? I don't know.
My Shirley Dimple.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I'm playing the promo. The promo's out with the music out, and they're saying the call.
Yeah, and Jake and Spike, the owners of this place, hooked up a phone line. Actually, people are calling. I don't know how they got the number.
That's because it's your cell phone.
Oh. Well, tell them to stop, will you? It's annoying me. Anyway, let's get back to this next bit. This goes back to October of 2011.
It's a biggie.
This was a fun bit, yeah. We spoke with Motion Performance's own Joel Rosen on the new. We talked about the new Motion Camaro that's in partnership with Redline Motorsports up there, upstate. But we sidetracked a little bit like we typically do and asked him what finally brought down the original Motion Performance.
Yes.
And here's how it sounded right from the man himself.
Check it out.
Hey, Joel, can you talk to us a little bit about Rome McGonigal?
Well, Rome McGonigal was a writer, which he still is to today. I haven't seen him since he wrote an article about me in the early 70s. And he wrote an article which in the Motion history has become sort of famous.
What was the name of that article?
The article was an article in CarCraft entitled King Kong Lives on Long Island. It was about us building 454 Vegas.
Yeah.
I think I know this article.
That was quite an article, and unfortunately it woke up the government to the kind of things that we were doing. Not that we were the only one, because when they stopped me, they stopped everybody.
Right.
And
like you said, Roe had no malice towards you specifically in mind when he wrote that article.
Oh, it wasn't an article. It was a very positive article.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no thought whatsoever at that time that the government was going to come in to any of us. But, you know, we had so much publicity that they stopped people upstate, Horry Chevrolet, and they stopped Nicky and all the other guys. And Yanko, they put them all out of the new car. They called us manufacturers. You know, they put us in a manufacturing category rather than just a local whatever, you know, because they read these articles and all they know up in Washington is that it looks like we got an assembly line. Here I am sitting on a broken stool selling cars out of the showroom. You know?
Right, right. Forget the fact that they didn't come down and actually see what was going on,
right,
you know, to know that you didn't have that.
They did.
Oh, I'm sure they did eventually, yeah.
They did eventually.
And, at that point, it was over.
Right.
When you get a piece of paper, the guy hands you the United States Justice Department versus you.
Yeah, Chris will tell you all about that.
Yeah, close the doors real fast.
Yeah. You know, we shut down the building as far as building new cars, except for overseas and legitimate race cars.
Right.
We had a disclaimer in all of our bills that said that the car was going to be used for off-road racing only and would be never put on the street. And everybody willingly signed that and had it notarized.
Was there a wink? Was there a winking eye on the form along with the signature line?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what happened was that, fortunately, I had a very, very good lawyer at the time who was the godfather of my children. And he just took me by the hand and took me right to Washington to the head of the EPA.
Wow.
We sat down with them, and it was good because the others all got big, big-time fines because they were big dealerships. And they explained to me that, does it have headlights? Does it have windshield wipers?
Right.
Could you put a plate on it? And I, you know, I'd be stupid to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, then you're breaking the law. And when you break the law like that and you take a four-cylinder engine out, and of course it applied to the others, you take a four-cylinder engine out, if there are 8 or 10 smog controls on the car, you're literally disabling all of them, and you're subject to $10,000 per smog device per car.
Ooh, yeah. That adds up.
That does, fast.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you kind of say, what can I do to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fortunately, we actually, because of this lawyer, we settled for a $500 fine, which was amazing.
Wow.
Sure it is.
You know, and we just said, okay, we'll stop. Of course, we continued on to well into the 90s, building cars for people all over.
Right.
Yeah, that's still a great story.
Isn't it a great story? It runs a little long, but you gotta imagine. It's Joel Rosen,
hey,
motion performance.
And again, he couldn't be here because he's traveling elsewhere to talk about motion stuff. But we'll make sure he hears this down in Florida.
That's true. That's true. But the place is filling up down here at Party
Central.
It is. And please don't call.
I think your family just showed up.
They're over by the buffet.
All those people with hats. Yeah, and plates. I see they got the eight. How come everybody else has an 8-inch plate? They had 18-inch dishes, these people. Where'd they come from?
They're using the hubcaps from the Crown Victorias and the Continentals.
They're using gardening spades for spoons, these people. Jeez, these Mama Lukes.
Speaking of relatives, we catch up with On-Spot Tire Chain President Pat Fryer.
He's on the buffet line. I see him.
Oh, yeah. He's waving at us, talking about his television experience on Motorhead Garage with Sam Amolo and Dave Bowman. And here's some of the hijinks that happened behind the scenes. And this happened back in October of 2011. And you can check it out right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Here it is.
Sam and Dave come over to me. They ask me what the features are of OnSpot. It's a safety. It's a productivity device. Can you use it in chain control area out west? Yes, you can. Are the chains made out of special alloy like you asked me? Yes, they are. What kind of trucks can you fit? 3/4 ton up the Class A tractor trailer. These guys, I don't know how they do it, but they incorporate it into the conversation. There's no script, but they come on and they start filming. They go, you know, we got these chains, and you can use them in chain control area, and they pick up on it just so quickly. It's amazing.
Wow. That's professionalism.
Absolutely amazing. But at the same time, I have to tell you that the first shot, you know, Dave turns around, and he says, we found this product, OnStar Automatic Changer.
Oh, no.
Right. And of course, the director cut. Hey, do we even know who we're talking about today?
Yeah.
So it's spot on tire what?
Yeah. So, tire whitener.
Yeah, so a lot of the 2 hours, you know, there's this cut, you know.
Sure.
Sam drops the wrench, Dave trips over the angle gauge, you know, that stuff goes on.
That's the magic of editing.
Goes on here, too.
Well, now you know, with that level of professionalism, you know why they're there and we're here.
Right. Exactly. So how did they involve you? Did they give you any FaceTime on the show?
I got very little FaceTime. I mean, they came over, they introduced me, a couple of things about the product, and then we pretty much spent the majority of the time showing how to do the installation.
Were you wearing your Motormouth Radio shirt when you did that?
There were more stickers on the back of my shirt. My dry cleaners wanted me to put on the back of my shirt, you know, shirt cleaned by Stratford Dry Cleaners.
Bagels provided by Dan's Deli Express.
Hats hair done by Emil's Barbershop.
Right.
On-spot logo shirts by Fresh Concepts.
The gas in Pat's car from the Amoco station on Route 7.
I look like a NASCAR driver going down the street with little stickers.
Nice.
No,
perfect.
That was good.
That was.
Yeah, that was a great experience Pat had, and we had a lot of repercussions. We've talked to the people down there, and they want us to come down and do some work with them, but the logistics are such that it's just kind of not working out right now.
That's true, but it did lead into something else.
It sure did, and I tell you, going back to February 5th, earlier in the year, we had Joe Ferrer on the phone from BSNF Auto. Now, this goes back to TV as well. He's going to be on a reality show called Hard Part South Bronx. The copy says it's going to air next week. I don't know if that's actually true.
No, I think you're right. It's airing on the 20th.
Well, the 19th, after the big race on the 19th on Speed TV, there'll be a preview of Hard Part South Bronx.
Oh, okay.
And I guess then they'll say when it's going to actually air.
Got it.
And we're in an episode of it, so we did get some TV time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Joe talked about some of the insanity that actually happened to him each day at BSNF Auto right now.
Right, and here it is on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. The best bits of 2011-2012.
I had a guy one time, right?
Yeah.
This is a good one, right? I had a guy, a driver, right? He's working for me like 2 days, right? I'm in my office in the back, and I have a window facing the back of my store, and plus the camera's behind my store.
Uh-huh.
So the guy comes, so all of a sudden my guy comes and says, yo, the guy in the back, he got robbed. Or he was getting robbed, whatever it was. I run out, I walk around the corner, I woke up and said, yo, man, they hit my car, they pushed my car, and they punched me, and they grabbed me, and they took all my money.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've been around the block.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this guy, I'm saying to myself, you know, hey, doesn't look like he got beat up. He's not a small guy, and this guy looks like he's been around the block himself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll be right back. So I go back to my store, boom, I hit the video. I look at the video. This guy pulls in, then backs the car up, goes in the back, opens the a minivan, opens the back hatch, starts doing something to himself, like a scratch or something. And then I'm like, is this guy for real right now? So I walk back outside. Right, by the time I get back outside, there's cops there, and they're taking a report and this and that. So I walk right up to the guy, right, and the cops don't even know who I am. I said, here's something. So you were talking right here? He's like, yep. I said, and the guy hit you right here where I was standing, right? Yeah, that's what happened. The guy hit me right here. I said, really? I go, so you're telling me the guy came over and these guys grabbed you, whatever, and they pulled on your neck and this and that. It happened right here. He goes, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going through the whole thing. I'm just letting him, ask a question. And the cops are standing there.
Right.
Bewildered. Normally you think the cops are like, hey, listen, mind your business. But you know.
Right.
But I'm doing such a good job.
Of
right?
Interrogation.
They're just standing there. There's four guys just standing there watching me. And I'm going on, the guy's got a light on him, guy's smoking a cigarette in a room.
Yeah.
And I said, bro, I go, look over there. You see that? He goes, I go, you see, what is that? He goes, that's a camera. I go, I just watched you on the frigging camera. And I'm like, I said, so I used some other vocabulary.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm on time delay right now because normally in the Bronx, there'll be a few, words I can't use on the radio.
Colorful right. ones. Yes.
Right. I had to say friggin' because I almost lost myself for a second. But anyway. So he goes, yes. Can I go? I saw the whole thing. So why don't you just tell the truth right now?
Right.
What are you talking? And then he's still denying it.
Wow.
And I'm like, tell the truth, man. You know what you did.
Amazing.
He goes, all right. He goes, I had to use the money. I owed it to a loan shark.
Oh.
I go to the cop, go arrest him. And I arrested him right there. He said, give me a break, give me a break. I'm like, bro, you lied.
You lied.
Those cameras were a good investment, huh?
Oh, yeah, forget about it. Cameras are good. I caught a few on the cameras.
Wow.
That's just stuff I deal with. I deal with stuff like that all the time.
And is that all going to be incorporated in the show, Joe?
We got a little of everything.
Yes, he does.
Yes, for sure.
Hey, Joe's got a little bit of everything from the buffet right now. You see the plate? He muscled in on your family. He just pushed your cousin out of the way.
Come on, I think they all know each other.
I think so, yeah.
It's funny because I was a little torn between using that bit
and using
the other bit. And if you get a chance, listen to the
That was
interview.
February 5th. No, yeah. That was October 20th, 2011. I'm sorry, that was Pat. No.
No, February 5th.
February 5th, 2012. Yeah. I guess the snake bites are kicking in.
If you get a chance, listen to the February 5th show of Motormouth Radio. We interview Joe Ferrer in its entirety. It's about a half an hour.
It's on the download page at motormouthradio.com.
And the best part is that he talks about getting up in the morning to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he said it another way.
Yeah, and he did say it another way. I was torn between.
He said it another way like eight times.
Right. So that's the show to listen to on MotormouthRadio.com. But right now, here on the Mother's Day Extravaganza, expecting the unexpected is what we do best here at Motormouth Radio. And a guest like author of the book The Griffith Years, Mike Mooney, knows that better than anyone else. And here he is pointing out a certain structural weakness in one of his test Griffiths at speed. This is a lot of fun. Check it out right here on the Extravaganza.
We were trying the Series 200 with the whale tail. We decided to keep the car down because the roof of the car is a natural aerodynamic windsweep.
Okay. It's the wing. It's
basically
the wing.
It lifts, creates lift. So at about 125, 130, the rear would get a little light. And we decided, Len Bailey, Len Bailey fabricated the whale tail for the back of the car, like the Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem was that he didn't attach to anything structural.
Oh, just a deck lid.
So I did not know that.
Oh, and why would they tell you?
The body was made of fiberglass, the whale tail was made of fiberglass, attached to the fiberglass, and that's it. And I get out there on the Ocean Parkway at about 125. The rear window pops out. The entire rear fiberglass body from taillight to taillight took off.
Whoa!
And I end up with a Griffiths pickup truck.
Well, you don't have to worry about lift anymore.
Right.
And you got a nice breeze on the back of your neck from the wind coming around.
The car instantly equips itself with air conditioning.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man, he's right. I could use that Griffith pickup truck the other day. I pick up some mulch. I'm going to call Mike.
You can only get one bag.
I know. I think he's over there talking to Rob Stuck. North Carolina boys are sitting over there talking about something over the corner. I don't know what it is.
They're talking about Z-Max and 4Y.
Yeah, and they're both right by there, yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, anyway, it's time for another break.
Yes.
Because some kind of food just showed up. We got to stuff our faces a little bit. But when we return, we're going to find out how our favorite Dial Transmissions very own Pat Seppi gets ready for the questions that he hears on this show.
This is true.
What gets under retired auto crime detective Cliff Beater's skin these days?
Uh-huh.
And Cliff's not a hard guy to rile up.
Mm-hmm. But he's opinionated.
He sure is. We also find out what's finally getting in the Bronx way. That was the tease that we didn't know what was from before.
That's his blockage.
Yeah, and we dig into some of Motormouth Radio's music history. So stick around.
You got it right here on the Extravaganza. The best bits of 2011, 2012. Right here on Motormouth Radio.
Get into Thunder Road for
the heart stomping, pants dropping, hard rocking, earth shocking, booty shaking, love making, Viagra taking, history making, legendary.
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band on Thunder Road, Thursdays at 11 p.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC and streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
All right, well, I didn't get to finish eating that croissant.
I think the loons just showed up.
Oh, good.
Watch when you touch the copy with those sticky fingers.
It's funny, because Pat was just stealing some from me. And, you know, we go back now to March 4th when we had Pat in the studio.
Uh-huh.
It's never a dull moment.
I think you know that.
Right. Hold on, wait.
All right.
He was almost there a second.
Oh, good, yeah.
There he is, okay.
And he's usually well-prepared to field any questions that are thrown his way. But here's how he prepared for such an occasion that particular day.
All right, let's check it out.
This is from our friend Gerard up in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And he was curious if it was better to put a car in neutral at a stoplight or leave it in drive while waiting for the light to turn green. So we will throw that to you, Pat, as a first question.
I thought that was a legal question.
No, that would have thrown it to Joe.
It'll be illegal later on when they put in reverse by mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it has any effect on the transmission at all, but I don't know why you'd want to stop at a light and put it in neutral and put it in drive. I mean, between that and navigation systems and listen to the radio and texting, why would you want one more thing to do? It doesn't make any sense.
I'll tell you the truth. That when I drive my wife's car, because my car, I drive a standard transmission, so I'm used to putting it in neutral anyway.
It's different, though.
But with her car, it's an automatic. And it's a four-cylinder, and there's a certain amount of body vibration when it sits idling in drive. So I just pop it into neutral, and that vibration goes away. So for me, you know, it's kind of like a comfort
thing. Yeah, but it's called an automatic for a reason.
That's correct.
That's right. One less thing to do.
And if I can undermine that system, I will.
But this is the way today's going to go. These kind of questions?
Well,
and the next will be like,
if I change my transmission fluid at 93,000 miles, I heard that my transmission will go bad like in 6 months. That's coming, right?
That's
Do you have one of those?
No, I don't. But that's
just give me a Glock now, and I'll just blow my brains out and get it over.
We only have SIGs in this studio. No, that's become urban legend with transmissions.
Yeah,
are concerned.
It's like Bigfoot.
It is.
You just took my question away now.
A good thing we didn't have a cabinet full of Glocks in the studio.
That's for sure. But you know what's funny? Pat is the only one, the only guest we've had here on Motormouth Radio that actually got a call to hang up on him.
Oh, he did, yeah.
And you could hear that interview on Motormouth Radio.
I think he just got someone to walk away from because he took the gin bottle away from him over there. Thinking of Bombay stuff today.
And another one of our favorites that doesn't seem to hold back is retired auto crimes detective, Cliff. You know Cliff. He's the
automotive aficionado.
Automotive aficionado, Cliff Peter. Who reaches out to us whenever, with whatever is on his mind. And here he is with a theory that I, for one, totally support.
Those wings are getting to you again, aren't they?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And here it is on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
So I'm starting my own movement. You know, they got these, like, Occupy Wall Street movement going on?
Yeah.
So I'm starting my own movement. I'm getting really sick of seeing everybody, like, every time you're behind a car and you see, like, a license plate frame from a dealership.
Yeah.
Like, they should pay you for that.
I agree.
Advertising.
Yeah, Chris has said that before, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting a movement. You got to remove those crappy... Unless it's, like, from, like, Nikki Chevrolet or some place like that, you know, and it's on your classic car.
But yeah, there's not too many of them around.
Right.
Those license plate frames got to go, guys.
I had a Don Garlitz license plate frame I got from his museum down in Ocala.
That's okay.
And I saved it. The problem is it cracked because it's plastic. You should have made them out of, like, at least aluminum or something.
Cliff, what got you going about the license plate frames?
Because it's been a pet peeve of mine for years.
It really is.
Every time I buy a car, I tell the guy, keep the license plate frame. Don't waste it. No. And then one time I went to a place, like, I forgot, I got tires somewhere one time, and I drove home, and next thing I know, they replaced the dealer license plate frame with their license plate frame.
Wow.
And I thought that was an invasion of my license plate frame privacy.
I think so. I think you're right.
Everybody out there that's hearing me right now, unless you got, like, some specialty license plate frame that you bought, or it's from some, like, classic car, like where you bought the car originally in the 50s or 60s, if it's on a new car, you don't need, like, so-and-so Chevrolet or so-and-so Chrysler on your thing, unless they're paying you per month for the advertising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree. I'm totally with you. That's why I wouldn't go and buy from Wanton Mitsubishi, because they used to paint it on the trunk. And I says, I'm not going to buy a car with it painted on there unless you take it off. And they're like, no, we're not going to take it off. Every car's got it. I'm like, thank you, bye. And I left. I went up to Greenwich Mitsubishi to go buy the Galant, and I told them to take the plate frames off, and they wouldn't do it. And so I drove home. Literally, I drove home with the plate frames on. It was the only time they were on. I took them off that day. But I had to go back and get the car serviced. And one time, they were on to me because I walked up to the back of the car and it wasn't there. After I was yelling and screaming, it wasn't there. So I'm like, hey, all right, they finally listened to me. I drove it home. They put it on the front. It was on the front of the damn car. I was like, you dirty dogs.
I remember buying a car in 1982. From Becker Chevrolet, which is out of business now in Island Park.
Yes.
And they used to put a huge decal on the back. I remember ordering the car and saying, when the car comes in, just don't put the decal on. I'm not going to take it with the decal. So the guy goes to me, well, you know, it's done in the prep. I can't put it on there. I'm telling you, if it comes in, I'm not taking the car. So sure enough, the car comes in, I go in the back, it's on there. He had the guy out there with the heat gun.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you want to give me, like, $20 a month, you know, like, for advertising, you know. I said, hey, pay to put the stuff on the side of trains and buses, you know, if you want me to advertise your business. But, that's my new movement, guys. That's
loving it.
My cause. That's
excellent.
My cause.
We're on the bandwagon.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you. Hey, yeah. Cliff, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. I drop my daughter off at school every day, and I get behind this woman with a Toyota Avalon.
Right.
And it's like some Bill Blass edition with a padded roof. It's really, you know, it's got gold trim all over. Really ugly.
It belongs in my neighborhood.
And it says Toyota on the left rear side of the deck lid.
Yeah.
And it also has a painted Toyota on it as part of that package. So it's like Toyota, Toyota. It's like a little redundancy here, maybe. So I'm with Cliff. I'm going to go out there and, like, compound it off.
Was it gold?
It's like that, yeah, goldish color, yeah.
Boy,
please, on a white car, give me a break.
So what else is coming up on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, Ray Ray?
Well, you know him. You love him. You can't wait for his calls. You can't wait to go and do your laundry, water your lawn, hang up the phone, do the dishes or something else. But back in June,
yeah,
the unofficial mayor of Sparks, Nevada, Bronc, called. And, of course, he started ranting about an issue that really isn't thought about until it becomes important. And I don't know why it's important today, but we're going to find out just what was Bronx's issue.
Blockage. Can you dig it? Right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Oh, you want to hear about inbred breeding, about some people should not be allowed to go near cars, wrenches, tools, or other living creatures?
Oh, boy. Remember family program?
Another family program.
Go ahead.
You know, and certain things you don't think about until it becomes important.
Right.
They put an Edelbrock manifold, Edelbrock carburetor on this.
Okay. Well, you have the original setup. They gave you
the original setup. It's going back on eventually.
Okay.
You know, so on the old Chevys, as you know, there is no PCV valve, no air tube, no oil fill in the valve covers, correct?
Right. There was a vent tube.
Yeah. And it goes right to the floor. It goes right to the atmosphere, I should say.
Yeah, well, they have draft tubes.
Right.
We're using a draft tube. For the new listeners out there, it's just a tube off the back of the engine, goes down under the car, and vacuum sucks out the oil vapor.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to PCV, where it's recycled.
Correct.
A little technical information there.
Right.
So I go there, and I said, okay, I'll check the oil. And I check the oil, and then it comes to me, where do you put the oil? They put a late model manifold with no oil intake.
Oh. Well, what do you have on the valve covers? Oh, they're the original valve covers that are solid.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. That is a very good question.
Okay. You talk about inbreeding to a new level?
What did you do? You had to go down the oil filler stick? What, did you have this very small funnel?
We're not talking about your sex life here. We're talking about engines.
How long has that intake and carburetor been on that engine?
He put it on 2 years ago, and the car's been in storage basically since they changed the oil when they did the original
stuff. Yeah, on. He probably never did another oil change.
Holy smokes.
Good thing he didn't just take it out first. There's no way to put it back in.
Wow. Yeah. You know how you have to put it back in?
How'd you do it? What'd you do?
Take the valve cover off.
Yeah.
Or pull a distributor.
What was the distributor? One or the other?
Yeah.
You believe this?
Oh, wow.
You look at some of these things these people do.
Well, you grew up with those engines, so you know. I would pick up. But there are people who wouldn't, and there you go. They go with the intake swap and never even think that that's how you put the oil in.
It's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing indeed.
That is a little blockage on Bronx's part right there on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
You know, I usually like to take the oil pan off just to drain the oil. And then I'll take the valve cover off to fill it. I just like to do that kind of extra work because it's just...
You work like the Bronx.
No, yeah. Please.
So here we are at Party Central downstairs.
Did I hear a band warming up?
There is a band warming up, actually. And it runs about 2.5 minutes.
And it's not Mark Mendoza.
But here it is. This is the last bit. We're going to wrap it up right here on the Motor Mouth Mother's Day Extravaganza with a trip back in time with highlights and Motor Mouth Radio music. And a special thanks goes out to the Goat Man, Dennis, for supplying the music. And let's check it out right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Here it goes.
Do you remember a group in the 50s called Mary Had a Little Jam?
Yeah. Yes, a matter of fact, I am familiar with Mary Had a Little Jam.
Do
yes.
you know? Right. They
went with the butter on the toast.
They had some big hits.
They did.
They had a big hit in the 50s.
Yeah.
Called Motor Mouth Radio Is Here to Stay.
Really?
Yes.
Motor Mouth Radio wasn't even here to be. Were they prophetizing the future?
Yes. They were.
Like the solar flares, they were looking into the future?
Completely.
Mary Had a Little Crystal Ball? I don't know.
It was such a dynamic group. In the 60s.
In the 60s.
Yes. They were in that folk music sort of scene.
Right.
And they had Puff the Magic Motor Mouth Radio.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was actually pretty cool.
Lived down by the sea.
Yes. When the Beatles were here and they had that English beat in the mid-60s, Ferry crossed the Motor Mouth Radio.
A little Mersey beat there.
Yes.
All right.
Big
like
hit
skiffle,
for them.
Maybe.
But they went into rock and roll.
They did.
That time when paraphernalia
Late
was king.
Late 60s, early 70s.
That's when it was. Sympathy for the Motor Mouth Radio listener.
Oh, that's good.
Big hit in the late 60s for that.
That's nice.
Mary Had a Little Jam. Take note of this.
Okay.
There was that early disco song.
Oh, but they evolved.
Yes. Jive Motor Mouth Radio Talking.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah, they were going over a lot of bridges. They were waning in the disco era, but they had one last hit.
What year was it?
This was around 1977.
Oh, well.
Stay in Motormouth Radio Live.
Oh.
Classic bit. You can catch it all on KTEL Records.
On KTEL Records
actually,
at Woolworth.
And this right here.
You have a clip?
I do. I have a clip from their first hit.
The first hit, okay.
The first hit.
Was on 45?
From Mary Had a Little Jam. Yes. It was a very small 45.
So this is back to the 50s.
Yes, we're going way back.
Can we hear it?
Yes, we can.
Oh, let's hear it.
Let's do this.
All
let's
right.
see if we can. I'm going to put this up like that and then hit that button and see if we...
Oh,
this hit number 11111.
Oh, how I wish that Raven and Chris can show.
Solid Gold, 1956.
Nice.
There you go.
Hey, that's pretty cool. I was a little weepy there.
It was.
Wow. I wanted like slow dance.
Started a great career.
That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. That was really good.
That
Dennis,
good.
Thanks. The band, you know, you got to see these guys. They play locally. We'll give announcements on the show when they're going to be around.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Great. They wrote a song for us.
That's right. And this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza right here on Mother's Day 2012. I'd like to thank you, Ray, for your great compiling of this information so we can do this.
And thank you, Chris, for actually compiling it and putting together the files.
that's my job.
Let's go celebrate Mother's Day with all our mothers and we'll see what kind of presents the kids bought and all that good stuff. And we'll go eat something. Well, we're going to have to eat again after this. This is unbelievable.
Sounds good. For Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer's the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. We'll talk on Thursday. See you.
Bye-bye.